Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Facing Your Fears, hosted by evangelist Norma Chapman with her co-host.
I'm sorry out there, listeners. That is a wrong introduction at this time. But what I'm going to do is just go ahead on and try to get the correct one up and started for you for the introduction. I'm sorry for the introduction.
You're listening to Facing Your Fears, hosted by evangelist Norma Chapman with her co-host Ingrid Adams.
Okay, listen, I'm sorry. The introduction is not playing. The correct one is not playing on right now. So we're just going to go on and thank our listeners for listening in on today. And we pray that everyone will enjoy the upcoming show that we have prepared for you on today. And our special guest today is the lovely Miss Carlotta Taylor out of Jackson, Mississippi. Mrs. Taylor is the author of the book, No More Fixing, which will be our topic for today's show. Before we begin our show, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity that you have given us, Father God. Come before the listeners on today, Father God, and give them an inspiring word on today, Father God. Father God, we pray that someone out there in ready your land, Father God, that is in need, Father God, of a blessing, Father God, have a bow down head, Father God, that needs, Father God, encouragement on today, Father God. We thank you for letting us stand in the gap for those, Father God. And we pray that everything that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight, and that everything at the end of the show, Father God, that you may get the glory. Good afternoon, Mrs. Taylor.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I am doing fine. I'm doing fine, and thank you for having me on Facing Your Fears radio talk show. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure having you on Facing Your Fears. Let me tell the listeners a little bit about you. Transformed from 26 various foster home care. Because of abuse and neglect, she learned early on that she didn't transform her mind. If she did not transform her mind, she would be consumed by the chaotic world around her. Realizing that nothing just happened and that God used even our suffering to be a blessing, Carlotta seeks to inspire others to press beyond their breaking point. Even if she only touches one person, several beatings by her father, Carlotta seeks also to touch hearts and minds out there on today. Carlotta encouraged people worldwide to know that there's nothing in life that you cannot overcome. Because she was beaten by her father and suffered mental, spiritual, and physical abuse in the many foster homes she once resided in. Carlotta encouraged people worldwide to know that their difference in life do not have to decide their future. As a former homicide detective, child protection detective, and a former federal officer with over 15 years of law enforcement experience, she knew she had to use her knowledge and wisdom to effect greater changes in around the community. As the founder of Somebody Step In Industries and nonprofit for foster care children, teenagers, and young adults, she offers coaching and mentorship and education. We're going to come back and give you a little bit more history on Mrs. Taylor. But at this time, I'm going to turn the mic over to our special guest and the number of listeners that you can tune in on this topic and on this great show by pressing the number ones on your phone. And at that time, when I open up the lines, you may ask any questions or if you have any comments, you may do so at that time. Listeners, let us listen now to our special guest, Mrs. Carlotta Taylor out of Jackson, Mississippi. Mrs. Taylor, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. And after you tell them about yourself, then you can continue on and begin to go into your topic for today.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Carlotta Taylor, and I'm out of the Jackson, Clinton, Mississippi area. I am a mother. I'm a wife of also a mother of three beautiful children and a bonus baby. And I am a speaker, author, trainer, and coach. My book is No More Flinching. And I have a nonprofit called Somebody Step In, which is a nonprofit for foster youth and aged out foster youth. And my law enforcement career, that was the area of my career, but I put in a 2 weeks notice about a year ago, actually a little over a year ago, to walk in my purpose and to help those who are experiencing abuse as a child, especially in the foster care system, and to do work in that area. My purpose, I know for sure now, is to inspire each one and everyone that they too can overcome their adversity and they too can walk in their purpose and live the life that God has called them to live.
All right. Thank you for that beautiful introduction and a little bio about yourself. Mrs. Taylor, how long was it in Henderson when you began to write your book? I want to talk a little bit about your book and what inspired you to write your book. And I know that I gave a little bit about it when I introduced it. You to the listeners. But I want you to go into a little details about your book now and what inspired you to write that book and how can that book help others that's going through the same thing that you went through?
Oh, wow. That is a great question. So I'm just going to dive right into it. I was born into a family where I was abused as a child, as a little girl by her father, and my father just happened to be at a bad place in life. So I didn't understand that then at the age of 5, of course, but daily I would get punched in the face, kicked about in the stomach, hit in the head with boards, brooms, and, you know, various different things. One thing I don't hardly ever talk about is I even got whoopings where I had to lay on my back and raise my feet up, and he would just whip my feet. And so it was just different forms of punishment. I don't talk about all of them all the time, but it was my life. And every day I would go to school bullied, picked on. Where little girls wore cute clothes and nice shoes to school, I wore black eyes, busted lips, and before long, that caught the attention of Department of Human Services in Jackson, and I would then go into foster care, me and my younger brother. And so we would go into foster care, and that would lead to a cycle of going in and out of foster care, in and out of shelters, and back at the home where the abuse always remained. And that went on for several years. At the age of 12, I even attempted suicide, physically attempted it, but thank God that day nothing happened. And I guess my tolerance level for those pills that I took, they were not strong enough. And that day I'll never forget. It was a sad, sad day, but ultimately after I swallowed those pills, hoping that I could just escape this world, I remember a calmness coming over me. It was like a light just appeared, and I felt like everything was going to be all right. I just didn't know when that was going to happen, but it was like a peace. Even in the midst of my storm, and even with me feeling like I was kidnapped, and even with me feeling like why is my life this way, there was still some bit of peace of hope there, and I know that was nothing but God. And I thank God for my mom, who, even though she wasn't strong at the time, she still instilled in me things about God and the Bible and gave me some type of hope. So moving forward in life, by the age of 13, my mom divorced my father, and all those years I had been flinching because I was so used to getting hit. And any time that I was around my father, or not even around my father, I would always flinch because I was so used to getting hit. And even when she divorced him, I moved on, and I was always flinching. I was flinching for years, actually, and it was very embarrassing to be out in public scared. And when somebody raises their hand or reaches in your direction, or if I'm at the store getting milk and somebody reaches over in my peripheral vision, I'm flinching because I'm just that used to getting hit. So it was like a subconscious reaction. And throughout life, I just tried to find myself. So I messed up a lot and got in inappropriate relationships and got mistreated and mishandled. But all the while, I was replaying things that happened to me in my life in my younger years. And so it was like when my father told me things like, you're dumb, you're stupid, and you'll be nothing when you got older, that's what I would replay in my mind. And so that became who I thought I was. That became what I identified myself with, and I would think nothing would happen for me. I would think that I'm not good enough. And so I went on with life doing that until I joined the military by the age of 18. And so I'm just going to fast forward it up for the sake of time here. I went on in life and I found law enforcement, or law enforcement found me, and that's what I could do naturally. It was that job you could do without getting paid for it, and I excelled in it. I went from being a police officer to a child protection detective to a robbery homicide investigator, acting police sergeant, and even went federal.
Wow.
To a whole other police field and went federal and everything. So once I started excelling, I got all my degrees, got my associates, my bachelor's, like my life just started changing. But I was going for the me thing, and God just tapped me on my shoulder and said, Carlotta, I didn't bring you through all those, you know, foster care homes and all that abuse. I've worked cases where children have literally died from their injuries, and I sustained it. God allowed me to live through and not have any damaging effects on the outside, and he just made me really strong on the inside to be a voice for people. So that's where my inspiration from the book comes from. It's like God allowed me to make it through that, and I had to be tough to withstand lots of information, you know, lots of trauma in my life, even being abused in foster care. Because one of my foster parents
wow.
even fed me and my brother hog slop. That's right, hog slop. So it's mm-hmm. like I can go through that, and now I know that my purpose in life is to inspire others. So that's where No More Flinching comes from. I want to declare no more flinching across the state of Mississippi, across the nation, and across the world.
My Lord, you're still listening to Facing Your Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Listeners, I know that you are overwhelmed, and I know how you feel right now listening to Mrs. Taylor's story, because it really touched my heart already. Now, Mrs. Taylor, we're talking about this was your biological father, right, that was doing all of these things to you, was abusing you the way that he was, right?
Absolutely, yes, ma'am. It was really, for years, I did not understand it. And for years, sometimes I even felt like I had been kidnapped and this was not my biological father or these weren't my biological parents.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found
mm-hmm.
later on in life, I found out that my father has his own story. And so he was, in his words, he would say, I am the victim who became the victimizer. See, my father, I believe his mother tried to kill him at the age of 2. And so he was through it like scars, and he, you know, third-degree burns when he was just a baby. And then growing up, you know, he had a lot of other things that happened to him that I don't even want to repeat, because that's his story, and he's going to share his story in due time. But we have pretty much made amends. So we had to get to a point where we understood me unveiling what happened in my life, because what a lot of people do, especially when it comes to domestic violence or abuse, is like you want to keep it locked up in a closet. But when you keep it locked up like it's a little secret, it starts to seep into the family roots, and then it starts getting passed down. See, like his mother who abused him, and then he abused me. And I just thank God it stopped with me and not me abusing my children, and then it would have kept on being another cycle. Yes.
Now, listeners, let's remember that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Wow, yes, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And my heart goes out to Mrs. Taylor, but I'm so filled with joy to know that she did not let this abuse affect her life. And she also just stated she forgave her father. And Mrs. Taylor, would you agree with me, if you had not really gotten to the point to where you could forgive your father and move on with your life, do you think you would be where you're at today by hiding behind the mask? I call it hiding behind the mask. That's when abusive victims do not come out and reach out and tell their story. You see, when I talk on domestic violence, one of the things that I emphasize is that you must be able to cry out for help. And this is what Mrs. Taylor is saying today to our listeners. She, in spite of all of her abuse that you were going through, and I can imagine your father and then your mother there watching all of these things going on. But I heard her testify just now that her mom was a child of God, and she kept her with the knowledge and knowing that God was there, and she wasn't strong enough to stop the father from abusing her child, her children, but yet she still kept the faith. She still kept the faith. Ms. Taylor, I want you to continue talking to the listeners at this time. There's another question I just want to ask you, is that when you were actually going through this abuse and your father was actually punching you, kicking you, and doing all sorts of things to you, how old were you at that time?
As far as my memory serves me correctly, I was around the age of 5, could have been about 4, but I do know 5 for certain. And it was 6, 7, 8, 9. I think the year of 9 kind of skipped over because we were actually in the custody of my grandparents then. So most of my 9-year-old age, I really got a glimpse of what life could be like if I was living in a family or in a household where I received love. So 9 years old to me was like my best childhood year. That's where I get childhood memories from. And so that year, it just kind of like, it stands out to me. But then, unfortunately, the judge made us go back into the home. And so from around 10 on out to 13 is when the abuse still continued. So I believe you asked me the question, do you feel like, or do I feel like, had I not forgiven my father, would I be where I am now? And I know for certain that I would not be, because there's no way that you can stand on a platform and be the voice for other people. See, this is not about me. Once I start speaking and sharing, it's nothing for me because I already overcame it. It's to encourage other people. Mm-hmm. And you got to, when you're operating in what God wants you to do, you have to have the power that he's going to be able to give you to help others. And so it's more spiritual than anything. So you have to be right within, and I had to get to a place of forgiveness. Like, it took me years to do that. At first, when I first thought I had forgiven my dad, I really realized I really didn't. It was not just, okay, I forgive you, Dad, and that was it. I had to literally cry. I had to go in my backyard and scream to the top of my lungs. I asked God questions, like, why me? And why my life had to be this way, and all these different things. Until the smoke cleared, I realized that, one, nobody's perfect, and I had to realize that my dad, he was abused, like, severely, and he never shared his story. It's stuff that I just found out about what happened to my dad. I didn't find out until after my book was published, but when God showed me something, he showed me that now, because the book has been published and it's out, now my dad is in a position where he can actually heal from what happened to him.
Right,
and he said
exactly,
he does.
Exactly.
He said he has,
you know,
but he's
what?
Just not telling me about the thing.
And I constantly, when I talk about domestic violence and I have a class on domestic violence, I'm always being reminded that we don't know why the abuser abused their victim. And I often say that something could have happened in their life that caused them to be an abuser. And here today we have the sale on our show, and she is sharing with us how her father went through an abusive environment. So that sometimes can lead to the abusers feeling that this is the only way they know how to live in an abusive situation or an environment. And I'm reaching out to the abusers, and I'm also supportive of the victims. But I often say that if we can find out what's going through the abuser's mind, what are they hiding behind the mask with? Well, and get into their head and their mind and find out what's causing them to be an abuser. And we can help them to overcome what they're going through or what they have been through, and we'll have less victims out there to be abused by their abusers. Ms. Taylor, I also want to touch a little bit on your bio that you sent me. You went to school and you hold a bachelor's degree, also a master's degree. And after finishing school, you worked as a farmer homicide detective, also child protection detective, and a former federal officer. And you have over 15 years of law enforcement experience. Have you ever called on a case or called in or investigated a case similar as yours? And if you did, I'll ask you 4 or 5 questions. We can remember them. You can answer them in the first, you know, whichever way you want to answer them. But how did you feel when, if you ever had to experience a child or someone going through the same thing that you went through? Did it affect you? Was it a personal case? How did you handle that particular case?
Well, no, those are really great questions. I think I got about 8 questions in there, but I'm going to do my best to answer
each one.
Now, so yes, I have went on cases where children were abused. And to answer your question, no, I've never went on one case where any case was worse than my own. I went on one that was just like, kind of almost like it, but they had nothing on me and my brother case, right? The only case that really, the cases that really were worse were the ones where there was a form of violence on a particular day and the father, you know, actually killed his 12-year-old daughter, or the mother's boyfriend actually killed the son by hitting them in the head with an object, you know. So, like I said, the ones where the children died as a result of their injuries were like the worst cases. Any other case where there was continuous abuse in the home, no, I never, and all of, I worked violent crimes for about 5 years out of my law enforcement history, and out of all those cases, not one was worse than my own, other than those that where the children died. And how did I respond to that? One thing about it, I thank God for making me strong. I thank God for making me bold. And not one case that I ever have did I take it like it was like a personal case, like, oh, I gotta get the revenge of my life back through this case. I never operated like that. I always saw each case with a fresh pair of eyes, and that this right here is wrong, because wrong is wrong. And I was passionate about it, yes, because, of course, I felt like this doesn't need to happen. But I worked the case because I wanted justice to be served on each and every case. So even when I worked in child protection, I just wanted the case to be resolved if it were a true case. So I never went with just thinking that, oh, this is true. I want to make sure all the facts and evidence line up to support this claim. And in a lot of cases, it didn't. You know, when I worked in sex crimes, which was also robbery and homicide, I worked a lot of robberies and homicides, but I also worked, like, rape, you know, things like that. And a lot of times, that was not always the case. About 80 or so percent of the cases that were coming in were fake and made-up cases. And if I was going about my law enforcement career personally, then I would have been just thinking everything is true, every allegation is true, and that would have been horrible for law enforcement. So, no, I thank God that I was able to just be a true investigator. And so my being going through what I went through, it just made me stronger, and I was able to channel my energy correctly.
We give God the glory on today. I mean, this is an amazing story that you're listening to, and I know my listeners out there is tuned in and saying that, Look at God. And you also, in your information that you sent me, you said that after even in your retirement, it is crystal clear that it is not just a career, but it is a ministry. So we thank God that you give God the glory out of all that you went through, and we know that God has really, really shined in your life. You are strong, and I just thank God today. It could have been worse, Miss Taylor, but I wasn't there. But I can, when you said the age of 9, I could, what comes to mind when I was shot and stabbed up.
Oh, Lord.
My children was 3 and was 6 or 9 at the time. My 9-year-old was the one who got help, had left to go next door to get help for me. So she technically saved my life. And she didn't freeze up, you know, she didn't panic. And I thank God that my 2 children, myself, we never had to go to counseling. And God has really, you know, healed them and he worked mighty in my life when I wrote my book, What Faith Can Do. And I also heard you say in when you were introducing yourself that God gives you the courage to write what you wrote in your book so you can reach out to others, and you was able to tell your story. And through writing your book, your father also, that was brought another closeness to you or relationship. That's the same way I felt when God gave me, when I was inspired to write What Faith Can Do. It wasn't about, you know, what I went through. I'm not proud of the thing that I did write about and what faith can do, but I had to tell the story the way it happened in my life. And it was to reach out and touch someone else's life that would be going through the same thing or were going through the same thing. And I pray that this book can help someone out there, because domestic violence is a deadly, deadly, deadly crime. And I heard you say that protection, child protection came in, but and you was your grandmother was taking care of you and your brother, but at a later date, which was about a year apart, the judge ordered you all to go back in that same abusive environment. Is that what I heard you say to me?
Yes, ma'am, you heard it. We were on our way to having a new life, and I was actually able to be a child. It was different. It's the best memories I have of my childhood as far as I'm concerned. And it was like promises of a brighter future. And I was just, we were on our way to being treated properly. And there was plans for us to, like, according to my grandparents, Fred and Annie Taylor, got to give a shout out. God bless my grandfather's soul, Fred Taylor. He's the inspiration of my life. They wanted us to go to Piney Woods, and they had it all mapped out. We were going to go to college after we left the program, and they were just setting our lives up to, you know, to go take a better direction and a better turn. But unfortunately, when my mom had our fourth sibling, which is my youngest brother, the judge ordered us to go back home. But see, my mom, she always wanted her children, and they kept giving my parents like second chances. Like they had about, I don't know how many chances for us to be in a home, but it was a repetitive cycle. It was a repetitive cycle, and it caused more injury than anything. But I just will never forget that devastating day we got that phone call to go. We had to pack our bags from our grandparents' home, and we had to take that ride back from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and had to go back to Jackson. That was one of the most devastating days in my life. And I dropped to my knees when I got that phone call.
My Lord. You know what? I'm just excited, and it's a blessing to have y'all facing your fears on today. And remember, listeners, you are tuned in to Facing Your Fears Radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. And we ask that our listeners out there, please keep in prayer for all of the victims that have lost their lives, their families through domestic violence, victims that may be still living in that environment. And also we're crying out that there is help for you. There is help. Do not stay in that environment, you know, leave. We're going to be doing some more shows on domestic violence as the month of October continues, you know, maybe until like the month of October is over. We do have a call, Ms. Taylor, and I'm going to open up the line, and because he or she has a question or a comment for you, okay?
Okay, sure.
Hello, caller. Last number is 507-765. Calling you on the air. Calling you on the air.
I can't move.
So, but I wonder if...
Okay, they may be talking to someone else at this time, but they do have a question mark, and it's the caller, 504-7765, you're on the phone, you are on the air at this time. Okay, we're going to go down with next caller, Ms. Taylor, and that phone number is, I'm going to open up the line to that caller.
Hear me, I got you, Captain.
Yes. Hello, caller. Phone number, area code 786-5015. You're on the air. Good evening. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, our code number 786.
Hello.
Last phone number 5. Hello, you're on the air. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Can you all hear me okay? You was calling off another number. This is Pat from Miami, 786-555-0015. I'm fine. Just wanted to jump on. I've been listening in, and I just want to first of all come in. I think it was Coletta. At any rate, yeah, God is good all the time. It was a beautiful message. I enjoyed listening to it. You know, my daughter was abused by an ex-husband as well. And I just listen to other people when they share their stories because she's still in that timid age. And I know that she has a powerful message within her. You know, and I could certainly relate to some of the things you were saying, and I just really enjoyed you telling your story with the energy. You know, you told it sounds like you're an overcomer, you know, and that's very powerful. So just thank you so much. I just want to give you, you know, give
thank
you my
you,
blessing.
Thank you.
And I did connect
thank
with you on
you
Facebook as well.
Thank
Pastor
so
Chapman, how you doing?
In. I'm doing fine. How's everything there in Miami?
Good. Thank you for sending me the notice, the reminder. Thank you.
Okay. It's always
awesome.
A pleasure having you. And thank you for tuning in on today. And thank God
you.
For her. And
amen.
Now we're going to go back to the caller that's error code 504, last three digits, last four digits of 775.
Oh, okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
We're finishing up what you got.
Yes, sir.
My owner in the garage.
I'm thinking at this time that the caller probably just pressed the number one on their phone and not realizing that they're tuned in. We also have another caller, and I'm trying to get the call. I want to get everybody in on today. Ms. Taylor will be coming back and sharing some more information. Okay, caller, I'm trying to get you in the studio. Caller, our code 337, last four digits, 8156, you're on the air.
Hi, Norma, it's Misty Lane.
Hey, Misty.
Hello, Norma.
Hi,
I'm good. How are y'all doing? Yes, I can
fine.
Hear you fine.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for calling in on
Absolutely. So, Carlotta, you're so powerful. You know, I love you already. But I do have a question about your relationship with your dad today. Where is it, and how did it get to where it is, and why? Hello?
Ms. Taylor?
Hello. Thank you. Yes, I'm here. I want to say thank you for the questions, and also thank you to the lady before that, you know, came on and gave me that inspiration. Thank you so much. But, Misty, thank you for coming on. You kind of surprised me, so it's always good to hear from you. Love you back. Love you much. My relationship with my dad actually lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and he has, you know, done a lot of things in his life to, I would say, either make up for or he's pressing forward. Now, our relationship has always been a little estranged because it just was never really there. You know, I never got the happy birthday cards or any kind of gifts. I never got Valentine's Day things or never got to talk. Just really been on no first date with my father. Like, that's never happened. Like, I don't know about a father-daughter dance, none of that. So we don't have that type of relationship. However, love is there. I can go visit my dad. I can give him a hug. He'll tell me he loved me. As a matter of fact, he calls me his number one. And so it's like that mutual respect that we have for each other. It's like I know what he did. He know what he's done. And his prayer is just that, you know, he used to always say in every conversation until recently that, you know, my number one request before I leave this earth, I just pray my children can forgive me. So he just used to always say that.
Welcome,
and so now that forgiveness has actually taken place, it's like, okay, I know we're going to work on getting closer, but yeah, we can talk. We talk all the time. And we'll talk and call each other. He'll text me, I'll text him. We're not the closest of close, but we are like building, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Can I ask you though, at what age did you allow that forgiveness to take place? The reason I ask is my ex-husband was my abuser, and my son has never really had a relationship with him. My son is 19. He's never abused my son because my son was only around him about a year and a half. But my son doesn't really want him in his life. And I'm wondering if later in his life, you know, if he will forgive him and where, what age you were when you started that forgiveness process.
Well, I would say I tried it probably around like mid-20s, late-20s, really trying to get to that place where I could say I've truly forgiven him. But like I said, even early on, I would think I had forgiven him, but it would still be a lot of, you know, anger inside. So it was like for years and years, it just had, it was like a purge. I had to keep going back and like, okay, it's not done. It's not done. And anytime that I could ride down the street and I could see a father playing with his little girl and he raised her up to make a goal, and that's my goal, and I just break down crying, I knew it was something still there. So I would keep going back to God and just really cleansing myself. And now when I talk to him or when I talk about my story, I'm not bawling. There used to be a time that I couldn't even share what happened to me without crying and breaking down, if that makes sense.
Right.
So
yeah.
Now I think it was just a period of time, maybe like 5 to 10 years. Like, it was a long time that I worked at forgiving him, because this is my life we're talking about. This was like me growing up as a little girl that I can't get back, but I just have to reach beyond the break, if that makes sense. So it was a process. If your son is in a place right now, I would say just give it some time, and you just keep being nice and don't say anything about, you know, anything negative. But over time, I feel like it may get better.
Place your item in the bagging area.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Place your item in the bagging area.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to thank Ms. Lane for calling in on today's edition of Mrs. Nicole Lane will be our special guest on next week. And she also has an amazing story to tell on domestic violence. And she also the author of a book in which you will hear that on next week. Thank you for calling in. I love you. Take care. How's everything?
Thank
there?
You.
Wait, Lake Charles? Where you live in Lake Charles, right?
I'm in Lake Charles. Yes, everything's great here.
How's
thank
everything
you
there in Lake Charles?
Everything is good here. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling in. Mistress, we're going to at this time, we're going to let our special guest, Ms. Taylor, continue to tell us more about her book, also what she's doing now, what God has, you know, what where she's at now in life, and what's going on around her in the community there in Jackson, Mississippi. Also, what is she doing to reach out and help other people, because what she sent me was that I'm assuming she's traveling and she's doing other things in her life. God is opening great doors for her. So we're going to allow her at this time to continue talking to the listeners out there and encouraging everyone out there on today. And let's keep in prayer for, like I said, for all of the domestic violence victims. And also, we want to keep in prayer the breast cancer victims that's dealing with cancer, and also the ones who are survivors as well. So with that being said, this is your tune in to Facing Your Fears with your host, Ms. Norma Chapman, and we're going to turn the mic back over to our special guest, Mrs. Talaka Taylor of Jackson, Mississippi. Ms. Taylor, you can continue your story on today. And I thank you again for being our special guest on Facing the Fears.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Once again, I'm so grateful and thankful for this opportunity. So just a little bit more about my book. Yes, it is a memoir about my life. It highlights a few points that I feel like God wanted me to share with people. And the main thing is overcoming adversity, no matter what adversity you've been through. And for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, there are some things that there are children out there flinching because they're being abused. There are teenagers out there flinching because they're being abused. There are adults out there flinching because they're being abused. And I want to declare no more flinching all across the world. And so I aspire to help people understand that they too can overcome their adversity. It doesn't matter if you're being abused or if you are the abuser. People can get to a place where they can heal and just, you know, make the switch to put their life on another track. So, yes, I'm out here right now in Atlanta, Georgia. I just got off the air with Power 108.9 out of Rhonda's Room, and I was on air yesterday sharing my story, talking about my book. It went really, really great. And tomorrow and the day after, I will actually be at a domestic violence Summit, and I will be speaking there as well on both days. And so a few more things that are lined up coming up. I will be moderating at a Pretty Pink and Pampered event for those who have suffered through cancer and survivors of cancer, and it's a really great event coming up. I have so many things coming up. I'll be in Los Angeles, California in February at an awesome, awesome family and fathers conference out there where I'll be a speaker and talking about my book as well, and just some other things. I'll be in Washington, D.C. before the end of the year is out. So I just thank God for the opportunity to go out and share my story. But I don't just go out and speak and give keynotes. I also have workshops where I help foster youth overcome, where I help foster parents identify ways that they can be better foster parents or better parents to their foster children. And so I also am a newly certified John Maxwell speaker, trainer, and coach, where I also help businesses as well with their productivity and excelling and thriving. So my master's is in science and leadership. And so I'm a very, very good at being strategic, especially when it comes to strategic management. And so having that John Maxwell certification really just lights a fire in everything as well, because that's an awesome and amazing accomplishment to have. And I just want to say thank you to all of your listeners, and thank you for this opportunity. And I just look forward to the next things that God is doing. Yes, ma'am.
Because he's really, really moving you. And listening to everything that you're involved in, I thought my days were busy, but I cannot touch with God. For God is bringing you, and I do want to ask God to keep blessing you, keep shining in your life, keep giving you wisdom, and keep directing your path and the way that he is leading you. And I just want to tell you that as you go to and for, and as God bring you here and there, just remember that for one, hats off to you. And we thank God for someone like you who's reaching out not just there in Jackson, Mississippi, but all over the United States. And God is, he's just moving you in some areas where I know without a doubt that you are going to touch someone's life, and you're going to change someone's life. We have to get you here in the city of New Orleans and set something up, a seminar, something up for you to come down here in the city of New Orleans, and that you be able to help some of our victims here, some of the foster homes, and some of the things that transpire some of the people here in the city of New Orleans. So continue talking to the listeners out there, okay, at this time. I'm going to turn you back over to our special guest.
Yes, ma'am. Well, one, I would love to come to New Orleans, so we just need to go on and book that, because that's what I do. So that would be an amazing, amazing thing to accomplish there. And I just want to give the listeners a chance to know where they can actually get my book from. So you can find my book. If you want a signed copy where I autograph every single copy that I ship out personally, you can order your book, No More Flinching, from www.carlottataylor.com. And my name is spelled CarlottaTaylor.com. You can also find me on Amazon, okay, if you just need to get a copy real quick. It's on Amazon as well, and as well on Kindle for my electronical readers out there. Some people don't believe in the hardback. I'm a hardback person. I'd rather have the book so I can highlight and underline and circle and make my notes and stuff, but everybody's not always that way, so we have the techie people who just like to read off of their little Kindle pads and, things like that. So you can find it on Kindle. Also, you can look up Somebody Step In Nonprofit Organization. I do want to take a minute or two to just talk about that. So we are a nonprofit that helps coach and mentor foster youth, pretty much let them know they're not alone. Let them know by sharing my story, mentorship, and things of that nature, this next step processes. We help them out. Right now we're getting ready to orchestrate and finalize a toy drive, okay, in the state of Mississippi, and we're going to be partnering with Canopy Children's Solutions. So I'm really excited about doing our first toy drive for the foster youth between the ages of 7 and 10 for this Christmas. So I really look forward to that. That's going to be an amazing, amazing thing right there, because I remember when I was younger and I would get Christmas presents. And whether it didn't matter where the Christmas presents came from, especially my first pair of skates that I loved dearly, it was a gift I really couldn't hold on to because I never even had the chance or opportunity to ever skate in them, because my Christmas gifts and toys and prizes would be taken from me at an early age. Like, as soon as I got them, they were taken because they were pawned and the money was used to buy drugs. So that was my childhood growing up. So to be able to turn around and give back to foster youth and help them get toys for Christmas that they actually can keep, that was that is really making a difference, and it really inspires me to do that. So I'm really excited to be able to do that. Also, I'm also, you know, excited to be a speaker to any, if you have a platform and you feel that, you know, people need to be inspired, people are pretty much stuck. They're having a hard time overcoming adversity in their life. I will be the person, the ideal person that you will want to book to help do that, because I am the type, yes, ma'am, I'm the type of person who, if I'm speaking, my whole desire is for God to use me to touch the audience, to inspire them, and really just provoke them to know that they have the power within. God has given them the power to overcome anything they've been through. That's why you're still alive, because if it was over, you wouldn't be here. So if you're alive and breathing, just know it's not over.
Thank you so much. Continue to talk. I'm going to have to listen out there, and my son is acting up, but I'm going to continue to talk to you while I clear my throat. Go ahead, Ms. Taylor, and continue to talk to our sisters.
Okay, yes, ma'am. No problem. Does anyone, I don't know if anyone has a question because I'm not able to see that part, but okay, so now I want to just talk about Domestic Violence Month, and we also have Cancer Awareness Month, but I don't know if anybody was aware of this, but it's also Dyslexia Month as well. The city of Houston, Texas, the mayor just declared just the other day, I can't remember what day, I think it was 2 days ago, that Dyslexia Month for the city of Houston. So that is something to add to it as well. I didn't talk much about this platform, but I'll take the opportunity to talk about it now. I am also a Facebook host of the show called Carlotta Taylor, Getting to the Heart of the Matter, where I allow people from all over the world, doesn't matter what country, doesn't matter your background, if you have a story about adversity and if you have a story about how you overcame, but you must be doing something now to give back to people. You must be helping people in some kind of way. And I allow you to come on that platform and share your story. It's a Facebook Live show, and it's really, really great, because anytime you're feeling down or out, even if you don't want to just come on the show as a guest, you can go check that page out, and you can be inspired by people who overcame cancer, people who overcame abuse, people who overcame having hair loss. You know, that hair loss, I can't think of the word right now, but it's when you lose your hair and your skin is messed up, something like that. But, you know, they get bullied and mistreated, but we have people who overcome it. This one lady, she had a wig on. She took a wig off. She put it on backwards. It was just really, really hilarious, but it just shows you how people overcome adversity and how they overcome those things and turn the bad into good, you know. And so that's what I really like about me getting to the heart of the matter with our guests there. So you can just come and just tune in. It's every Monday at 6:30 Central Standard Time, and that would be another great platform for you to check into.
Thank you so much. You're still listening to Faith in Your Fears with your host, your truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. We still have a few minutes left in the show, about maybe 4 or 5 minutes left in the show. You still have time to tune in on this great episode on today with our special guest, Ms. Carlotta Taylor, out of Jackson, Mississippi, and she has shared some wonderful, wonderful informative and important information, and above all, she shared her story of how her life was involved with being abused by her father, and what she had to go through, being tossed from foster care to foster homes to foster home and living in that type of environment, how God had touched her life and how she overcame all of the tragedy that was going on in her life, how God gave her a forgiving heart, and she's able to forgive her father for many, many years of abuse. Also, she shared with us on today how the Lord blessed her to go on to better her life by continuing her education, by getting a bachelor's degree. Also, is that a bachelor's degree in, is that science, you said? Also,
bachelor's
a
science
degree.
And leadership.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, how the Lord has touched her life to go out and travel all over the United States, giving her, telling her story and being an inspiration to other people or children that have gone through what, going through or have gone through what she's been through. And it's truly a blessing on today to have her as my special guest. Listeners out there, this story on today has really touched my heart, and it couldn't have come at no better time in the month of October, where it's Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And we're going to pray that God will continue to witness to those who are living in that type of environment, that they can choose to come out of that type of environment. They do not have to live in a domestic violence environment, that you must be able to cry out and come out and come from behind the mask and be able to cry out to your family or your neighbors or law enforcement, because there is help for you out there, and there is all type of counseling for it that's available for you. And you first must make that decision and make up your mind. The Bible is about the renewing of your mind, that you can first seek God and all his righteousness, and then know that and have faith in God, and knowing that I'm going to step out of faith, and I'm not going to live in this type of environment. I don't care who it is, your boyfriend, your father, your husband, your wife, because, you know, our women is aggressive as much as men today. They're very abusive. We have mothers out there abusing their children. They have mothers out there that's using their child for human trafficking, selling their bodies for drugs and all type of evilness that's going on, that the devil is just having us trapped, thinking that we're trapped into a situation that we cannot overcome. But I'm a living witness today that you can overcome whatever obstacles or whatever life that you're going through in life. You can overcome it with the help of God. And we have our special guest on today, Ms. Taylor, have shared with us how God has helped her to overcome what she was going through. And you still have time to join in on this topic on today. If you have any questions, please press the number 1 on your phone. And at that time, I will open up the studio to you to be able to ask any questions or comments that you may have. I'm going to go back to the caller with our code 504. And the last 4 digits is 7765. He or she is still tuned in. I'm going to open up the mic to you, and you have a few minutes to ask a question or give a comment on our topic today. Okay. Caller, that's Erica 504, last 4 digits, 7765. You're on the air. You're on the air, and I'm thinking, listeners, that this person is just not aware that he or she has pressed the number 1, indicating to me that they have a question. So Ms. Taylor is going to go back and continue. We only have about 5 more minutes left in the show, and I'm going to take that opportunity to say that you can contact me, Yvette Norma Chapman, at area code 504-333-9550. You can also reach me through my email, norma_chapman@yahoo.com. You can also visit my Facebook page, Facing Your Fears. Also, What Faith Can Do, which is the title of my book that God has blessed me to publish in the year of 2008. Also, you can also connect with me on my Facebook page, Norma Chapman. And I think that I already heard Mrs. Taylor give out some information on how you can contact her. And remember, she did invite you to tune in on Mondays on Facebook, where if you have a story to tell or something that you're doing that you are inspiring, being an inspiration in your community, that she, you can come on and she would give you the opportunity to be on the platform there on her show that she is being the host of. And at this time, Ms. Taylor, do you have anything else you want to share with our listeners? I'll give you that opportunity to share it at this time before we do our final goodbye for today.
Okay. Thank you for this opportunity again. I can't say thank you enough. And I just want you to know that you can find me on Facebook as Carlotta Taylor, or you can find No More Flinching on Facebook, Somebody Step In Nonprofit Organization. And you can also find me on Instagram as Official Carlotta Taylor. And Ms. Norma, I just want to say thank you once again for the opportunity to speak. And just let me know when you're ready to book me. I'm ready to come to New Orleans. So I would love to do that and love to come out there and help the foster youth and be an inspiration to them all over the world. So I look forward to coming to New Orleans. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so very much. Also, I want to share with you, you live in Jackson, Mississippi, but my hometown is Crystal Springs, Mississippi, 20 miles south of Jackson. That's where I was born. And when I published my book, I was living in Hazelhurst, Mississippi.
Wow.
I was an opportunity to stay there after Katrina. So, homegirl, God bless you and God keep you. And what this time, it's that time for our show to come to an end on today. Before we close the show on today, I want to thank all of our, I want to thank my special guest, Mrs. Carlotta Taylor, for being on Facing Your Fears and sharing all of her information and how you can contact her in reference to her book and any other help that she may, be needed after the show. And remember that she did share some informative, important information how you can contact her if you need her to come into your city, your town, or your state. She said that she would be glad to come in and share with your community and your children and people there that's going through it, feel like there's no hope for them. She's available if you just reach out to her. I want to thank you all for listening on today's show, and I pray that the Lord will forever bless and keep all of you. Remember to tune in every Thursday at 4:30 to 5:30 Central Standard Time, where we will have a new guest and a new topic. We're going to close and pray at this time. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity once more and again to go forth. Father God, we're facing your fears, and we pray that, Father God, someone out there, Father God, that's standing in the need, Father God, of inspiration on today, that they may be, that they were inspired, Father God, through a testimony, Father God, of the praises that we're giving you on today, through our special guest, Mrs. Carlotta Taylor, and through every word that we said, Father God, that proceeded out of our mouth, that was pleasing, acceptable in your sight, Father God. And at the end of the show, Father God, we pray that you get the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, that you give Ms. Taylor traveling grace as you go to and fro, Father God, reaching out, touching souls, and touching lives everywhere, Father God. Continue to give her wisdom and guide her footsteps, Father God. Help her to lead not to her own understanding, but out of all of our ways, we want to acknowledge you, Father God, so that you can continue to direct our path. Thank you for tuning in on Facing Your Fears with George Truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Ms. Taylor, I pray that God will continue to bless you in your life and you go forward. I will be contacting you soon and setting up something here in the city of New Orleans that we can have you to come in and you can be able to be a blessing to our city here in the city of New Orleans. God bless you and God keep you. At this time, we want to say goodbye to all of our listeners. Until the next time, God bless you and God keep you. Goodbye now.